For those that already enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we will continue with our heart sutta. I will try to move a bit faster so that you can develop better understanding. Those that I have already covered, I will skip them. Okay, turn to page 66. Eighteen Heart Sutta class. 1.1. Daily mindfulness is very important to enable one to realize the real Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Without this daily mindfulness, we are an awareness of all action and all movements, feeling, content of consciousness and Dhamma that arise and pass away from moment to moment. You must understand this, moment to moment, within the present moment. That's why my second last teacher told me, if you want to really develop insight, your silent mind has to be at the moment of arising, sustaining and passing away of phenomena. Has to be with the moment without thought, then it will awaken. So most of the time, cultivator think a lot. That's why this thing cannot happen. But when you develop mindfulness correctly, until it becomes very stable and throughout the day you are in sati, then very fast you understand. Always remember, all movement, all perception is a phenomenon. So whatever that your mind can perceive is a phenomenon. So that moment of perception of its arising, sustaining and passing away, within that instant you can awaken. Some of the cultivator that has their past parami, it can happen differently. Like some through hearing of a broken cup, like Xuyin Lao Sang, it can trigger off the mind to silent, like everything stopped. Then they realize the true mind, the true nature. Then the condition connect them. Then all of a sudden, like space pulverize, means you cannot talk about it. They realize cessation. Then the moment after that, they come out. They understand everything. But most living beings don't have the past. So you have to really diligently cultivate this daily mindfulness. Then silence your mind to be with the moment, to understand clearly the universal characteristics of impermanence. Then you will automatically understand suffering and non-self or empty nature. Okay, so I read on. Within the present moment, the real wisdom cannot arise if you don't have that stability of mindfulness to be with the moment. When there is no wisdom, one will be conditioned by one's delusion, whereas wisdom leads to joy, peace, love, compassion, and harmony. You want to know whether you progress along the path of Dhamma or not, it's very easy. Do you still think so much? Are you still heedless? If you are more and more heedful, less and less thinking, that is a good sign. And because of that, you don't cling, you don't hold. That's why there is peace within. There is joy. There is understanding. Then there is love. You become full of contentment, gratitude. Then you have a lot of compassion. You will rejoice in the wholesomeness of whatever people do. Then you are always at peace. That's why there's a lot of harmony. How you interpret or perceive a life situation or a phenomenon at every moment of sense experience is very important. When you have wisdom, then you will come to realize this one. What my teacher told me, Life itself is your teacher. You can learn from life. The enlightened ones will perceive all things with wholesomeness only, no negativity. Develop the wisdom to be at peace with all situations and learn to accept the reality of the moment so that one does not have to react to or worry about life, but instead always act with wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. This is your guideline to resolve all of life's situations amicably. Then the four right efforts we have gone through. Then the three types of suffering, earlier I told you, now it's all in the notes, you don't have to write down. First one is dukkha dukkata, suffering within suffering. It is the most obvious ordinary form of suffering within the physical body, like birth, old age, sickness and death. If the mind via delusion cling and attach to this body, suffering, this bodily suffering, then there is double suffering. There is not only your body is sick, your mind is also sick because of your self-delusion. You think this body belongs to you. When you get old, get sick and about to die, there is so much fear. When your newborn child has problem, you have fear, you are worried. So this is how mental suffering comes about, through attachment, through craving, through delusion, sakayaditi, thinking that you are real, your loved one are real, whatever you own and possess is real. So this is the first type of suffering. Then the second type of suffering is sankhara dukkata, suffering due to unsatisfactoriness of conditioned state. Suffering born of mental attachment via attachment to the sankhara aggregate or mental activity and mental state that you experience. So this type of suffering, you must be very mindful. When your mind, through your views and opinion, attach, grasps and cling, then sankhara become grasping. Then it will bring about suffering. Because when you hold on to your view, you take a position and a stand. When people argue with you, you will suffer. And when you hear something different, you will have problem, the doubt, the what they call the doubt that condition you to have very weak mind. There is no more calmness, no more confidence. Then it leads to the mind that try to be right. That's why it will ask question. Then it will start to develop their own argument, so that they can still maintain their views and opinion. But this is delusion, foolishness. Like the Buddha said, all of duality, they are man-made. Right and wrong is relative. Good and bad is relative. Right according to who, you must understand. So when you don't hold on to any particular viewpoint, have an open mind, that is the best. If they want to be right, if there's no condition, it's okay. You can also confirm, yes, you are right. Are you lying? You are not lying. Right according to you, that's why you are right. So no point in disagreeing and arguing. When you have understanding, you will know. When there is condition to share, you share. After that, if you find that that particular being is not able to receive, then you just let it be. Because their life, nothing to do with you. You only play your role when there is affinity and condition. Other than that, you just let things be. That's why you don't try to do good. Don't try to want to help. This is delusion. And Chief Raven say, good-hearted fool. Then we move on. Suffering caused by change or viparinama dukkha. According to the Buddha, everything is impermanent or unsatisfactory. And if one cannot accept this reality, or these universal characteristics are impermanent or anicchang, then suffering will arise. We are wanting the good things your way. So this one is suffering caused by change. Then this Piyadasi book, page 43, Buddha's Ancient Path, he defined it very well. I read to you. Viparinama dukkha comes under the category of unsatisfactoriness due to impermanence. All of your pleasant and happy feeling or sensual experience that man can experience, they will fade away and disappear, even your happy moments. As the Buddha said, even the feeling that a yogi or meditator experienced after attaining the form meditative absorption called jhana came under this category of viparinama dukkha, because they are transient, means impermanent, lead to suffering, dukkha, and subject to change, viparinama dhamma. But the dukkha mentioned here is certainly not the pain and suffering that human beings in general endure. What the Buddha pointed out is that all things impermanent are unsatisfactory. They suffer change every moment, and this change brings about unsatisfactoriness. For whatever is impermanent is unsatisfactory. That's why the Buddha stated it very clearly in Pali. Yatta anicchang tang dukkhang. That is, there is no lasting bliss or happiness. Everything that has the universal characteristic of impermanent, they will change. And if you cling, grasp, suffering will arise. You cannot try to maintain all this state. You cannot try to maintain your perfect meditation. Meditation is not to be perfect. Meditation is to develop insight, wisdom, and awaken. Like Sun Tzu, he was trapped in the duality of perfect meditation. I just want to realize a mind that is always mindful, free of defilement. That's why he got to guard his mind, polish until it shines, so that no dust alight. If you do that, means you don't understand Dhamma. You cannot maintain those states. Without wisdom, you will suffer. It's just like those who do energy field. When they get old, they cannot do already. They cannot maintain all this state. Then suffering will arise because their main delusion or anusaya, latent tendency, they are not rooted out. They are still within. So this is a very important understanding. Okay. Then question one. As always emphasized by Brother Teo, right understanding and right view are very important. If one lacks this, then how can one progress along the path of Dhamma? So this is a very good question. According to the Buddha, I said, the first of the Noble Eightfold Path factor is Samadhi, right view. I already explained before. Without this right view, you cannot proceed with the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because if your views are wrong, then your thought will be wrong. As thought and mental intention condition our speech, action, and the way we live our life, then all the other subsequent path factors of the Noble Eightfold Path will also be wrong. Hence, it is important to have right view or right understanding as the first path factor within the Noble Eightfold Path. The three right views with regards to all the spiritual law that governs all of life existence are very important, and they are the law of karma, which I have already explained, the law of mind, citta niyama, and this one refers to the paticca samuppada or dependent origination or dwelling. Then the law of all other nature's truth, Dhamma Niyama. The main one is the Four Noble Truths. Nature's truth, anything that can explain the things the way things are is true. The Buddha advised via Dhammapada verse 183 to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. It comes from this first right view, law of karma. According to the Buddha, each and every one of us is born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. And this is the fifth daily contemplation that the monks are told to reflect on daily. Hence the importance of taking care of one's karma, because your life is so dependent on karma. So if karma is so important to you, because you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned, supported by it, and you are what you are, because you have to take care of karma. You don't take care of karma, you will suffer, you will become miserable, because it affects you in so many ways. And this is the main determining factor that determine how your life will be. So when you understand that you are almost 100%, I use 99.99% conditioned by karma, depend on karma, is because only the enlightened one, which is 0.00001%, that one is a very small number. Only this being, they are not affected. They can understand, they can endure, and they can overcome. Then how do we take care of karma? We need to train our mind to be ever mindful, heedful of our mental intention, so that our actions, speech, and thought are always appropriate and right, to avoid all the negativity of karma or evil karma. We are keeping our precepts and cultivating their ennoblers. Means instead of don't kill or cause harm, you develop compassion, you develop love. Then instead of not stealing, you develop the opposite ennobler of generosity, kindness. This will enable us to heed the first two advice of the Buddha. And the third advice is to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness to purify one's mind. Okay, so this one is like a revision. Question 2. When we are on the wrong path, we are having wrong view, how can we come out of it? This is a very good question. Now you can understand the great wisdom of Lord Buddha in teaching us how to make sure that we won't have wrong view or follow wrong path. We are following his advice to sincerely cultivate the below important cultivation and aspiration. As the Buddha said, taking the three refuges of Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha with a very strong faith and with sincerity, we are understanding is important. The Buddha said there is no other safe refuge except the Triple Gem, where the Four Noble Truths can be found to realize the enlightenment. That's why you have to go for refuge. To make the aspiration of reciting Itmina Punyang Kamina Mame Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya, that is to invoke the power of merits to enable one to avoid all the foolish and meet up with the wise and the enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. Question 3. You reap what you sow. So can this karma be experienced in this very life? This one is more academic, but I explained this before. It depends on which chitina or determining thought moment the karma is being committed. According to Abhidhamma, there are 7 thought moments of chitina or mental intention to condition karma. If it happens during the first determining thought moment, that is only effective this life if there is condition for it to arise. Otherwise, it will cease to be. Similarly, for the 7 determining thought moment, it is only effective up until the next life. if there is condition for it to arise. But those occurring between the second and sixth determining thought moment will be around for at all time. So the answer is, it is possible to experience them even in this lifetime. Just like how you reap the result of your hard work while studying and later on working in your life. Chapter 19. With wisdom, one is always at ease with a lot of harmony in whatever one do or does. One will also be able to accord and flow with condition during the waking moment. As in the working environment or as a housewife doing her daily chores, or as a normal human being going through life, etc. One will have the wisdom and ability to resolve all of life's issue or situation amicably without causing any suffering or karmic negativity to anyone. That is, with no mental negativity to deceive, to cheat, to lie, or take advantage of others. In life, the way one perceives a life situation is very important. If one cannot perceive a life situation without any negativity, then one will always... If one can perceive a life situation without any negativity, then one will be able to be happy and at peace with all life situations. If one does not react or stir one's mind, then one will not suffer. To have the ability to prevent the unwholesome speech, action, and thought from arising, one needs to develop sati or mindfulness, leading to heedfulness or pramada, and finally, wisdom, panya, to prevent the arising of the unwholesome mental intention or wrong thought that will condition one's wrong speech, wrong action, or unwholesome speech and action. Right thought, right speech, right action are conducive for the holy life. The three doors that commit karma are cetana or mental intention, committed via speech, action, and thought process. To take care of karma, one needs to be ever mindful of one's mental intention and apply the appropriate right effort and right understanding. To avoid all evil, do good, and purify one's mind. Contemplating to develop skillful means of communication and action via arising only the right and appropriate speech and action that will not cause any suffering or misery to fellow living beings is very important. For example, via having love, compassion, kindness, pleasantness, gentleness of speech, gratitude, sincerity, contentment, etc. in everything we do can go a long way to help you. Sometimes, by being sensitive to people's feelings, by saying, "I'm really sorry and please do forgive me if I unknowingly or unknowingly caused you any misunderstanding," can go a long way to make people feel good and happy as opposed to engaging in unfruitful argument that can lead to further misunderstanding and enmity later on. Use only pleasant, gentle, and appreciative speeches and speak tactfully with wisdom, with kindness, with love and compassion to help others and to bring about more harmony and happiness. Those who are in the service industry shall learn to speak well on the phone and when receiving people. Those who are attending to emergency phone call must have this ability to use gentle, pleasant and good speeches to calm people down and assist them to handle the situation calmly and appropriately. Words like, "May I help you?" and "How can I be of assistance to you?" are very useful and appropriate. Understanding the importance of applying the four right effort to purify our actions, speech, and thought process is a very important aspect of the whole cultivation. There are three very important purification needed in cultivation. And they are purification of sila or morality, then purification of mind or citta, then purification of view or samadhi. So these three purification are part of the seven stages of purification of satta visuddhi as taught by the Buddha. So these seven we have gone through, I will just skip it. First one is sila visuddhi, then purification of mind or content of consciousness to see your three evil roots and all those things. Then purification of view, so as to arise right view regarding law of karma, four noble truth, and law of dependent origination, and then to cultivate the rest of the noble eightfold path factor. Know the difference between right and wrong view, to develop true understanding according to reality and to see things as they are. Then purification of overcoming doubt I have gone through. You will have no more doubt because it has overcome the 10 defilements of insight that bind the cultivator to complacency and misguided belief of realization. Because you think you are already enlightened. So that is a very powerful trap. Then the rest I have already gone through. What is path and non-path? If you are not on the path, enlightenment factor not there. Then when you are on the path, you are very sure. That's why you develop the training, patipatti, jnana dasana, to develop the direct knowledge and vision to awaken. Then when you really awaken, then you have the final purification by knowledge and vision of the reality. Okay, since meditation is taught by the Buddha as the Noble Eightfold Path, so if one's meditation does not lead one back to the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path via heedfulness and sati as taught by the Buddha, then it's not the Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha. If after having great experience, a fantastic meditation experience, one may think that one is already enlightened, but if one's action, speech, and thought process are still very crude, with a lot of wrong view and delusion, then one must check what type of enlightenment that one is. Okay, 12 o'clock. We stop here. Then you can go for your lunch. Okay. We will come back at 1:30. Okay. We will do the closing salutation. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami Supatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho saṅghaṁ namāmi. Okay, for those who want to report their meditation question or ask question, we will do it at the 1:30 session. Okay.